You should already be thinking about your end, even if you're 20, because you don't know, and you should be prepared. So, with that in mind, let's go to Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time. Father, we thank You so much that You are a God of grace. Lord, we thank You so much that You have provided all that we need for life and godliness in Your Word. You've given us instruction about who You are. You've given us instruction about who we are. You've given us instruction about what we need. And Lord, you've provided even practical instructions for how to walk through this life in a manner that pleases You and brings joy to our hearts. Father, I pray for all of us this morning that You would instruct us. Holy Spirit, we know that You are the one who has given us of Your Word, and that You indwell Your people, and that You illuminate Your Word to us. It is You who provides us the comfort, the correction, and the encouragement that we need. And so we look to You. Be with me as I speak, and Lord, may You help us to think well together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this first session, we're going to be talking about deliberating with dust. Each of these sessions is really predicated on this theme of deliberating or deliberation, thinking about, giving consideration to. As some of this is going to come out of Ecclesiastes here at Cornerstone, we've actually been working through, preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes over the last couple of months, a few months. And it's been a rich experience for me. Lord willing, it's been a rich experience for our congregation. And we have been challenged to be wrestling with the brokenness of the world. We've been challenged to deliberate with the realities that we face. And so as we begin this morning, we need to deliberate with the reality that you are dust, and to dust you will return. And so if we do this, though, if we'll do this, then we can prepare ourselves to finish our lives well. I'm confident that you're here because you want to do that. I'm confident you're here, you've come, because you want to prepare to finish this last leg of your life well. If we desire to finish well, we're going to need to come to terms with our human condition. And otherwise, we're not going to be prepared to face those days of darkness that will come. And by the way, that phrase, days of darkness, as we'll see, comes out of Ecclesiastes. So the first thing I want to talk about is this reality that it is from dust to dust that we live. So if you would turn to Genesis chapter 2, if you have a Bible, or if you want to tap there if you're younger and you use a phone or a device. I suppose not everybody. Some of you more aged, mature people probably do that too. Yes, we do. We have Bibles in the back. They'll grab one for you. If you would raise your hand if you need one, we'd be glad to provide one for you. While you're receiving those, Genesis chapter 1 is God's account of His creation of the heavens and the earth. And I'm sure you've all seen a diagram of how to do something where you've got instructions and parts and pieces, and you get the big picture. And then very often you'll have an exploded view. So like there's a portion of it that's particularly important or maybe complicated, and there's a portion that's taken and exploded out. Chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis, this is what we have. Chapter 1 is like the big picture of God's creation, and chapter 2 is kind of like that exploded version. It's the focus on the last day, and particularly the day in which God created man and woman. And so in chapter 2, we look at verse 7, and the scriptures say, "Then God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So mankind was created from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed spirit into them. And this teaches us, by the way, that we are composed of two fundamental parts. We are a material, physical body made from dust, but we are also an immaterial reality, a spirit. God has breathed spirit or life into us. And so we possess a physical body and we possess a soul or a spirit. And this is helpful. But the body is dust. It was created from dust. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes is near the middle of your Bible, if you're not familiar. Follows on after Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And beginning at verse 1, the author of Ecclesiastes, who goes by preacher or koaleth is the Hebrew word, says this: "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" So I want to point out two things here to you. One, this says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, the author of Ecclesiastes is not only limiting his words to the youth. The reason he says that here is because this is the best time to do it. The best time to be contemplating the realities of our lives, the reality that we're dust and will return to dust, is when we're young, so that we can build a foundation of faith and understanding that will aid us as we age through life. We're not in all youth here, but the words still apply to you and me even now, even though some of us are no longer in our youth. We are still to remember our Creator. And we remember our Creator, and that idea, the second thing I want to point out here is this remembering process is more than just remembering it as a mental exercise, like you remember your phone number or you remember a name. It's a remembering of covenantal commitment and connection. In other words, the Lord has declared himself to be the God of his people and us to be his people. And he's united himself to us in covenant bond. And this idea of remembering is an idea of continually bringing to mind who it is that made me and recommitting myself to that one who made me. And so this idea of remembering my Creator is an idea of continually meditating on my Maker and continually meditating on my commitment to him. And this prepares us, as we'll see, for what comes. The New City Catechism, which is a catechism, it's a relatively recent catechism that was written. The first question of that catechism is very similar to the Heidelberg Catechism, which was a 17th century catechism that was written. That first question says, what is our only hope in life and death? And the answer is that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what that's teaching us is that if we want hope, if we want to prepare for the end well, we need to remember our Creator. We need to remember who made us, and remember to whom we belong. If you're in Christ, if you've trusted your life to Christ, you belong to God in two ways. You belong to him as your Creator, first and foremost. He made you. He is the potter, you are the clay, and you belong to him. But if you're in Christ, you also belong to him as a son or daughter. You have been made to be his children. And you belong to him in this very special covenant way where he pours out his love upon you. And we need to remember that he is the Creator of my life, but he's also the Creator of my salvation. There is hope. So we remember our Creator, but we also need to remember our condition. So if you turn back to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are the account of God's original creation, the creation of all things, and the creation of man and woman, and the creation of the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3 is the account of the fall of man, the entrance of sin and the curse of death into the world. Adam and Eve are tempted to turn away from the Lord, to look to themselves. Satan effectively convinces them that God is not good, but that God has withheld something from them, and that something is contained within that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they see that and think, you know what? We believe what the enemy, what the liar is saying, and we want to be autonomous and take our lives into our own hands. And they eat, and they plunge themselves and all of humankind into sin. And they plunge them not only into sin, but they fall under a curse. And the Lord gives us this curse beginning in chapter 3 at verse 14, all the way following. But I want to look particularly at verses 17 through 19. The Lord says, then to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I command you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is helpful to us because what it teaches us is that the very ground, the very earth in which we live is cursed. And that explains a lot, doesn't it? Any of you garden? A few of you? If you garden, that's hard work, isn't it? Because the weeds are perpetual. Well, anybody that has a lawn, try to keep the crabgrass out of your lawn. Try to keep the weeds from growing on the edges. It is just a never-ending process, a fight. Well, this explains it. The earth, the world itself is cursed. And we live in this creation that Paul says, this creation that's groaning, this creation that has been subjected to futility. We live in a world that is broken, and that's why things rust. That's why things break down. That's why engines fail. That's why heaters go out. That's why, and you can fill in the blank, right? And if we've lived long enough, all of us have lived long enough to have experienced many of the manifestations of this brokenness. This is part of our condition. You and I live in a world that is under a curse. So what ought we to expect from it? I do think that we, in our culture, from a variety of sources, are encouraged to think that things should go like swimmingly well. Things should always go wonderfully, and we're always trying to organize things, and we believe that we can organize things. If we just get it right, we can organize things that'll all go well. Have any of you experienced that yet? It doesn't always go well, does it? Things break. Things are falling apart. We live in a cursed world, and this affects us. It affects the need to maintain a home because the weather beats it up and it needs to be repainted. And on we can go. But you also are under this curse. Your body is under this curse. Your life is under this curse. You are dust, and you're going to return to dust. And we have to reckon with this. We have to wrestle with this. Turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. By the way, as you're turning there, one of the reasons we need to begin here is because if we don't reckon with these things, we won't be able to deal properly with the things we're going to be talking about in the next session. You have to have a foundation for this, because what we're going to talk about oftentimes, these are difficult things. But if you've understood your condition and if you've reckoned with it, you're better prepared to deal with it. You're going to be more honest with yourself. So this is why it's so important for us to lay a foundation. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's look again at verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. These days of darkness, these evil days that are coming, if you look up in chapter 11, verse 8, it says, indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. The days of darkness, these are the evil days. These are the days when, as we age, we begin to say, I have no delight in them. You're all familiar with the concept of the golden years? That's a misnomer, right? it's more like the rust-filled years, or maybe the fool's gold years. Now they are certainly, they can be golden, and there are many respects in which, if we age correctly and properly, if we age under the knowledge of God's grace to us, they can be golden years. But they're not golden because of the body. They're not golden because of the physical realities. I'm full disclosure here, I'm 59, and so I'm young to some and I'm old to others. But I have been waking up in the morning with pain for many years now. It's just the way it is. My knee hurts from time to time. My hips hurt. I have degeneration in my neck and back, and I'm sure every one of you could go through all of your lists of ailments, and those things are just progressive, and they continue. And in our own wisdom, in our own approach to life, if we allow ourselves, because of those realities, at the end of life, we'll say, I have no delight in these years. They're certainly not like the years when I was 20 or 30 or 40. We need to remember this. We need to take this into consideration. Remember your Creator before those days come. And then down in verse 7, it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So the reality is that should the Lord tarry in his return, every one of us will return to dust. Every one of us will face that day when we will die. And we need to reckon with that. We need to understand that. We need to remember that that's our condition. So that's point one, from dust to dust. Point two, from death to life. And here we have this picture that's given to us so often. In fact, the gospel really is given to us in two sides. The gospel actually must be preceded with the matters of curse. The gospel has to be preceded by the problem in order for us to understand the hope and the goodness of the gospel to us. We have to reckon with death before we can reckon with life. And so we need to consider our predicament. What predicament are we in as human beings? Turn to Romans chapter 3. As you're turning there, I imagine that many of the things I'm going to say to you through this morning, many of these things you've heard before. These are reminders to us, but for those who are part of Cornerstone, they have heard me say many, many times, probably annoyingly many times, spaced repetition is good. How many times do you see in the scriptures, I write these things to remind you, or remember? Well, why? And it's not just because we get older that we forget. We're just forgetful by human nature. And it's often a willful forgetfulness, right? It's often, I don't want to remember. And so we need to be reminded. And so we need to be reminded even of these truths. If you know them, it's good to be reminded of them and to meditate on them. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, in this whole section, if you go back up a little bit in this, Paul is making a case that every human being, and it's in the context of a comparison between Jews and Gentiles. He's saying, look, if you're Jewish or if you're Gentile, meaning if you're human, he says that there is none righteous, no, not one. He says there are none who understands, there are none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And he goes on, for all have sinned. And as that passage maybe is a better translation, are continuing to fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we're continuing to sin. Because sin is falling short of the glory of God. The Lord himself has held himself out to us as the standard. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, if your righteousness if you were to enter into the kingdom of God, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and of the scribes. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes in that day were the most righteous, visibly, externally, of anybody anyone knew. If you looked at their lives, they were like, they were religious to a T. And Jesus says, your righteousness needs to exceed that. And then later in that same chapter, in verse 48, he says, you must be perfect as your Father is perfect. That's the standard. The Psalms ask the question, who shall enter into the temple of the Lord? And he says, only those with clean hands and a pure heart. Those who are perfect in cleanliness and perfect in thought, emotion, those whose souls are clean. And yet, what does the scripture say? For all have sinned. If you're here, you've sinned. And you're continuing to fall short of the glory of God. Turn over to chapter 6 of Romans. And look at verse 23.